One of the things people will sometimes say to me when we're having spiritual direction, or maybe in the context of making a confession, they'll say, I'm no saint, and I'll never be a saint. Well, that's actually not in the Bible. St. Paul, repeatedly in his writings, he doesn't talk about those who were followers of Jesus as Christians, but over 30 times in the epistles of Paul, he says to the saints who are in Rome, the saints who are in Philippi, the saints who are here at St. Peter's. But you might say, wait a second, Father, I am not a saint. Well, maybe not yet, but you are and I am saints in the making. But one of the things we sometimes have a tendency to do that we think sanctity begins with us. I've got to be good. I've got to be better. I've got to try harder. But when you look to the great saints, two biblical saints come to my mind. Peter, who when Jesus got into his boat said, Lord, go away from me, for I am a sinful man. And Paul, at the end of his life, in one of his last letters to Timothy, says, I am the foremost of sinners. So here's the thing about people like Peter, people like Paul, those who we have canonized as saints. They never began with themselves. They always began with Christ. And they understood that to be a saint is to be like a stained glass window. Without the light coming through the window, what's that window? It's enshrouded in darkness. But when the light shines through, you see the multifaceted colors, the dimensions of the window, like the one we have at the entrance to our church. And that's the definition of a saint, a man or a woman through whom the light of Christ shines through. But here's the problem. We live in a world where we all have a tendency to be Pelagian. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let me go back to the year 397. In the year 397, St. Augustine published the first autobiography in history. It's called The Confessions. And in The Confessions, Augustine talked about this very idea, the greatness, the mercy, the goodness of God, and how he, as a sinner, came into a relationship with this infinite and amazing God. Well, a man who read the book, an Englishman who was living in Italy, was named Pelagius. And Pelagius read the Confessions and said, no, that's not right. Because you see, this was Pelagius's motto. God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. Or another motto Pelagius would have used is the one that Nike uses, just do it. Because this is what Pelagius thought. Once you've been baptized, you're saved. And now it's just a question of trying harder, exercising your will. Do it, do it, do it, do it. But this is what Saint Augustine said. Pelagius, you're wrong. God does not help those who can help themselves. God helps those who cannot help themselves. And that is grace. And that is what the saints always understood, that it is the grace and mercy of God at work in our lives that we desire above all else. And that's why in today's gospel, Jesus tells a bizarre story. Because you and I have heard the parable so often, we think, oh, I know that story. But isn't that a freaky story? Like, what kind of guy would go to his neighbor at midnight to get a little bit of bread for a friend? Like, why couldn't they wait till the morning? That's what I would have felt if the guy knocked on my door. But of course, here's the point. The guy who's welcoming someone to his home has nothing to give him. He has no bread. And what's the bread? A substance of our lives. And what Jesus is wanting to tell us in this parable is we need to continually recognize, Jesus, we need the bread that you can give, which is your grace, which is your love, which is your mercy. And Jesus invites us into this relationship of persistent longing for him. We are to ask, Jesus, I need more of your grace. Too often I live with the attitude of Pelagius. God helps those who help themselves, but I just can't do it. I need you. I need your grace. I need your love. And so we ask for this more and more. And then we have that desire to seek God in the Eucharist, to seek God in the sacraments, to grow in our love of Holy Scripture, to become so infused with the story of God that he is shaping and transforming our lives, so increasingly the light of grace is shining through you and me. And then we're to knock. I liked what Augustine said about the church. Augustine said that the church is the inn. The inn. What does that remind us of? The parable of the Good Samaritan, who took the man who had been beaten up to the inn where he could be renewed and restored and healed. And so Augustine said that the door of the church is the door to that inn. And when we knock on it and we're welcomed in, we are to discover within that community the community of healing grace, the community of gracious love. But here's the problem. And St. Paul faced it in Galatia, in the church there, where they had had an encounter with the grace of God. But then they had early Pelagians come in and said, no, that's not it. God helps those who help yourself. And Paul says, who's bewitched you? The cross of Christ was raised before you. You viewed Christ crucified. And of course, what Paul's talking about is through his preaching. But how is it that you began with grace and now you think it's all about keeping rules? That is not the Christian way. It's not about keeping rules so that we'll be good. It's about living under the rule of grace so that we can grow in holiness. Twice in that passage from Galatians, listen to this again. Paul asks them, "Did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law? Or by believing in what you heard?" And then a little later he says, "Well then, does God supply you with the Spirit and work miracles among you by doing the works of the law? Or by believing what you heard?" That's the heart of it, beloved. To believe what we heard, to put our hope and trust in the gospel and in our good God, that's how we become saints. And it's as we have this deepening awareness of God's goodness, of his forgiveness, that we can, with Saint Augustine, understand this fundamental spiritual truth. As we continue to live in this world, persistence is needed because spiritual freedom is something that is progressively achieved. Augustine said it in the following way. He talked about comparative freedom. He said, there is greater freedom, there is fuller freedom, and there is perfect freedom. The Christian life for Augustine is a lifelong process of recovery, a recovery of freedom and healing and transformation that is initiated by the grace of God, sustained by the grace of God, and completed by the grace of God. Today, the church invites you and me to indeed persevere, to ask, to seek, and to knock for Jesus' grace today.